Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, February 27th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. The message is entitled, The Truth Will Set You Free. Our text comes to us from John chapter 8, verse 44. And now here's Pastor Zoni. Oh, but wait, it's Pastor Jeff first.
Okay. Well, while the kids are gone, pastors asked me to do something a little different. So we're all going to go back in time a little bit. I have no idea why he's asking me to do this, but we're going to go back in time just a little bit and sing one of those songs that got planted into my heart when I was a kid and hopefully in yours too. Ready? Let's see if we can do this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
We can go back in time, but it's still good today. And you don't have to be a little child to sing that and be blessed. Because this morning, I want to tell you a truth that you may already know, but you might have forgotten. Jesus loves you. And the only way we know that Jesus loves us is because the Bible tells us so. You would never know unless the Word of God would tell you that he loves you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's something about Jesus that he will never lie to you or to me. He tells us the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. And yet the enemy of our souls, the devil, the flesh, and the world would try to defy that statement that God loves us and that God cares for us. And we often find ourselves away from the truth that sets us free. I'd like to address the important concept that the world today is filled with lies and filled with the enemy giving you and giving me wrong information, false information. And yet, when you go to God's word, you'll find truth. You find the way out. You find what sustains you and what keeps you. The scripture for today is chapter 8 of John, verse 44. It's a chapter that I had not read for a while, but it's a very important part of what we want to do today. So let's look at it right now and see what John 8, 44 says. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and speaking to the religious leaders of his day and to those who would challenge him. He says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. So my question to you is, which native language are we speaking? Are we speaking the truth, or do we somehow, in some way, allow the enemy of our souls to speak lies to our life? I think it's important because the scripture tells us that there is such a thing as truth and there is such a thing as lies. And you and I, in ways in which sometimes we forget, we get caught not believing the truth, but believing a lie. And the reason we often believe a lie is because we don't know the truth. And the reason we don't know the truth is because you and I, as his children, God's children, do not spend the necessary time to get into the truth, to get into the world. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, you find the great story of how the enemy came to tempt Adam and Eve. Specifically, he went to the woman, to Eve. And the amazing thing is that he lies to her. He He lies to her as he lies to us today in our daily walk with the Lord. He comes in there and intervenes. Now, let me just address to you for just a second the setting in which the devil came and tempted Adam and Eve. They were in paradise. They were in a perfect environment. Everything was there. Everything that was good was there. They were sustained. They were blessed. God walked with them every night, every morning. There was God's communion. There was God's voice. I mean, it was perfect. And yet in every perfect situation, as much as you think it's perfect, you will find a serpent that will defy your walk with the Lord. It is amazing, isn't it? We say, if I could have this, if I could have that, if I could have the other, things would be different. No, no matter how wonderful life you may have, there's always going to be a serpent that will challenge God. And we need to be very careful that we come through when that challenge comes. Well, look, chapter 3. Let me read verses 1 through 4. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God really say? That's the whole. He says, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. And then the devil immediately comes with his lie. He says, you will surely not die. This is what God said, but the devil comes and says, that's not true. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that because as you read scripture, you find out that we are being informed in our decision. We're being informed in our lifestyle by either the truth that sets us free or we remain in a world of lies and deceit that appear to be good, but the end is destruction. We need to ask the Lord to help us because the scripture was very clear. The word of the Lord was very clear to Adam and Eve. He said, you're going to die. And the devil says, you're not going to die. And the things that God says to you and to me that are always challenged by the enemy, they're challenged by the serpent in our own Garden of Eden. They're challenged in our own setting where we live. It was not what God said, but the devil says, no, this is what he said. That's not what he said. And the words that we speak and the words that we pronounce and the way in which we join either truth or life causes our life to be in misery. Or causes our life to be in victory. God loves you, and yet the devil comes and says, God doesn't love you. God forgives, and yet we hear that voice that says, I can never be forgiven for the things that I have done. I am sick, and God will not heal me. And God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And every turn in our lives that God wants to bless, the devil will have a lie to take the place of truth. My brothers and my sisters, I need for you and I not to believe the world, the flesh, or the devil. That we need to tune into God's word. I'm encouraging you this morning to make a double effort to be filled with God's word, to be filled with the Spirit, and to pay attention to what he says, because the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It never occurred to me that Jesus said it will set you free because he's speaking to people that are not listening or paying attention to the truth. You're going to be set free because you're a captive of lies. You're a captive of your own imagination. You're captive of what the world says, what the flesh says, what the devil says. And it's time for you and I to grow up a couple of inches and to make up our minds that we will dive into God's word and that we will be filled with God's word in our hearts so that we will not sin against God. That God's word will become our centerpiece of devotion and commitment to God. and that we will not deter from listening to what God has to say to you and to me every single day of our lives. You know, the idea that God is not working or talking today is ridiculous. He is. You and I need to tune into him. You need to go into his word, and you need to seek his face, and you need to understand what he's saying to you and what he's speaking specifically on the issues of your life. We have people in our church that have loved ones that have not saved. And the scripture promises that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved and our family. When was the last time that you interceded for your family to be saved? When was the last time that you prayed for your family to come to the knowledge of God? Sometimes we think it's hopeless, but nothing is hopeless if God saved you. Nothing is hopeless. Nothing is beyond his reach for saving to the uttermost. And yet we often believe in our hearts that God is not able, when we should believe that he's able to do abundantly above all we can think or ask. There's something about our commitment to our prayer life and to the reading of the word that informs our lifestyle, that gives us the ability to maneuver through very difficult, perilous times that we're living in right now. I'm thinking specifically of unsaved brothers and sisters in your life, in your home, your siblings, your mother, your father, your grandchildren, your children. Are they saved? When was the last time that you interceded for them? And you must never stop asking for God to save those who are around you. We can speak about subjects or illustrations as to how prayer for people not for people being saved is answered many years after. It's not a matter of, all right, Lord, go ahead, save them. Oh, it didn't happen, forget it. No, it is a continuous prayer before the Lord for the salvation of those who are our family, those who are close to us, those who may be in dire need. You have to battle for their souls. You have to struggle in your spirit. You have to go to the word and reclaim their lives. Reclaim the promise, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your family. That there is more than just simple desire, but that you engage the Lord in your prayer, in the word, that you would bring them before the Lord. I tell you, there is such a huge agenda for us to pray that sometimes people say, when I pray, you know, I think I prayed along and I look at the watch and it's only 3 minutes. Well, this is a lot more than we can do in prayer. Prayer is much more, shall we say, dramatic than that. It is not coming before the Lord with a laundry list or a grocery list and say, this is what I want. It is walking into his presence and developing a rapport with him. Is the Lord speaking to your heart? Is the Lord speaking in ways in which he goes deep into your soul and you begin to understand the intent of the Spirit of God in your life? It is a communion with him. It is walking with him. It is talking with him. It is not just asking for things. It is necessarily the most important thing is developing a relationship, a spiritual relationship with your Savior who loves you and with the Father who sent the Son and the Holy Spirit that empowers you. It is the whole Trinity involved in the process of speaking with God, relating to God, growing with God, so that you will not believe a lie, but you will believe the truth that sets you free. I encourage you to do that. How do you go into the Lord's presence? How do you come to pray for the salvation of your loved ones? Like any other need or any other desire or any other item, you walk into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart. You walk into his presence thanking God that he's opened your eyes and that you know that you are his child, that you are his son or daughter, that you walk into his presence with joy. And there's something about voicing, there's something about speaking to God in a loud voice that causes the intimacy with the Lord to become greater and bigger. Often people say, I pray in the silence of my spirit. But I'm going to tell you, there are times in your life that you're going to shout to God, because it hurts so much. And it's in that shouting when you have a need that you know you touch God, but it also needs to be a shouting when there's apparently there are no needs except wanting to come closer to the Lord. We are believing lies instead of truth because we're not developing a closer walk with the Lord. A simple, Jesus loves me, yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. That need for us to come closer and to draw nearer to Him is imperative. We're living in the most difficult days this world has seen, at least for our generation. You and I need to pray for our loved ones to be saved, but we enter into His presence with joy, and we enter into His presence with a song. And you know, all of this takes time. They say Rome wasn't built on a day, and it's true. It takes time. It takes time. But God has given you the time to do it. It takes time, and you need to devote time to it. And sometimes you say, I don't have the time. And I understand we're all very busy people here, but we can never be that busy that we don't take things to God in prayer and develop some sort of a routine, which is a healthy thing to do, that we may spend time in the presence of the Lord. I'm telling you, nothing is more satisfying than to enter into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart. And, you know, the idea, and I, you know, we all do this. You know, we have a need and we pray, oh, God, help me with this. And God hears that. Of course He does. But what I'm advocating here is for the presence of His truth to overrule the lies that we have been fed about ourselves, about our family. The lies that come to you and come to me via the media, via our friends, the world, the flesh, the devil, that we can counterattack all of that because we have developed and are developing a relationship with the Lord that speaks to every area of our lives, that we can hear the truth that sets us free. It sets us free because we're in bondage. Otherwise, we would not need to be set free. The truth sets us free. So we talk about salvation, entering into His presence with thanks, with thankfulness and with gladness of heart. Enter in His presence, again, with thanksgiving, where you're thanking God for everything He has done for you. How much has the Lord done for you? You know, I remember years ago in school that one of our teachers gave us an assignment that we were to write in a piece of paper what you're thankful for. And, you know, I have to confess, after a paragraph, I was done. Well, I was a freshman, so what could you expect a freshman, you know? But anyway, and then when the professor, it was Dr. Hall, an old man of faith, he began to read his list. You know, he prayed for things that now I pray for. Lord, I thank you for my heart. He actually said, I thank you for my kidneys. I thank you for my liver. I thank you for my pancreas. I thank you for my brain. And he went through his body parts, thanking God for his body parts because they were functioning. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Ah, non-functional body parts, huh? Yeah, you wait till it hits you, and then you are thankful. Then you are thankful. And we don't take those blessings for granted, but we speak to the Lord with a grateful heart. God is able to speak to you and to show you how we can be thankful for Him. And then I always say to you, well, I'm trying to say anyway, and this is mostly instructive. It's not correction, but it's instructive. Sing to the Lord, as I said, the best way you know how. That's why these devotions need to be done in private. You can do it with your spouse if you want, with family member, but there are moments when you need to do this all by yourself, where you are by yourself and you can call upon the Lord and sing a new song in your heart. As you well you'll know, in our church, they cut this microphone the moment that if I'm here and they're singing, they cut this microphone. I don't know who gave that order. Someday I'll find out, because I don't sing well. I don't. I go off completely. And more than that, I change the words and confuse everybody. But look, the Lord puts a song in your heart, and find a tune, a sermon, of a chorus of a hymn, and change the words as the Lord will give you wisdom and ability, and praise God for what He's doing in your life. So the idea of being open and free in the presence of God, having freedom and liberty. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free to enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your heart, that you are not ashamed or embarrassed to show him how much you love him. That is how we move away from the lies of the enemy. Because the moment you enter into that communion, into that relationship with the Lord, you will find out how much he really loves you and how much he wants to do for you and is doing for you. We're just going to recognize it, and we're going to acknowledge what he is doing. You know, there's another area of our lives which is very personal to all of us, because we have all been sick here and there. And healing is another part of God's blessing for you and for me, that we need to enter into his presence and know that he wants to heal our bodies. It's a mystery as to why some get healed faster than others and why others have to go all the way into the presence of the Lord before they're fully healed. But that we will be healed, we will be healed. One way or the other, we will appear before the Lord without any blemish, without any wrinkle. We will be totally disease-free. But in this world, our mortal bodies, they take their toll. And they do take their toll. And though you may want to look young and happy and get a haircut, it's still not going to do it. You know, though you may still want to, you know, use this cream or that other cream, it's still not going to do it. El que se viste de mono, de mono, de seda, as the saying goes in Spanish, you know. Si el mono se viste, ¿cómo es que? How's it go? Aunque, el mono se queda, there you go. So if a monkey dresses up in silk, it still remains a monkey. That's what it means, you know. We try, but see, we cannot avoid the decay of this body, because this body is going to decay. But God gives us amazing vitality and strength until the day that he calls you home. But you enter into the presence of God, and you remember that he says, by my stripes you were healed. And there are times in our lives when the Lord looks at you and you say, Lord, do this, or Lord, do the other, because we tell God what to do. You know how we are, right? But, you know, we don't tell God to do. We rejoice in what he is doing. And his ways are not our ways. And his means are not our means. And I can say, thank you, Lord, for not giving me everything that I'm asking. Just make sure that my body and my physical strength is there to serve you. But it's going to come a time when the Lord will say, I'm calling you home. I can remember of several people in our church who felt God was calling them home. And there's no prayer in this world that can stop you from going into the presence of the Lord. But in the meantime, we enter into his presence and we claim what is ours and say, Lord, bring healing to my body. But sometimes the Lord will say to you, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. And when God says my grace is sufficient for you, it means that you got to bear it. You got to bear it. And sometimes we don't want to bear it, and we get grumpy and ugly, and we get really problematic with people around us, and we carry a big, long face, and I cannot use the phrase that I have for that because it would be totally inappropriate. But man, we got a really bad-looking face, and you become sour to everybody around you instead of saying, his grace is going to enable me to carry this through. See, the devil lies to you. The devil lies to you all the time, but the truth will set you free. God's grace is sufficient for every trial in your life and in my life. It is absolutely sufficient. But God's healing is available to you, and you can receive it by faith. Lord, bring healing to my body. But here is where I get a little bit concerned, because healing, the gift of healings, plural, is in the body of Christ. And I believe that some people don't get healed, not because God is not willing to heal, but because people whom he could use for the healing are absent. There's something about the body of Christ being together in unity, where God distributes his gifts, the Spirit of God distributes the gifts of healings, and you're not here, and you are the one whom God could use for that, and we cannot count on you because you are not here. Now, God works with everybody, and God is you know, respecter of persons. But one of the old timers, I can only speak about old timers now. The other day they told me at the university I was the oldest faculty member in the establishment. And I said, just stay around a little bit longer, I'll be older. Anyway, and nobody can catch up with me. It's unbelievable what people say. You know, it's amazing. They see gray hairs and they say something about your gray hairs, you know. And I don't take it personal. I just enjoy my life, and I just let it rip. Anyway, they're envious that I have gray hair and I can still walk and stuff like that. I'm still coherent somewhat, but you know, you will tell me when I'm not coherent. You will inform me when I'm preaching the same message every Sunday. This is what happened to a pastor who was preaching his sermon the same thing all the time, and he was not doing well, but he said, well, I'll preach a different sermon the moment you guys practice it. But that's not the point, you know. But it's amazing how sometimes the healing that needs to come into our lives and into our hearts is it happens with obedience, because the Lord gives the Spirit of God to those who are obedient. And you know, it was Dr. William Walcom, the gentleman I was referring to a few minutes ago, seconds ago. He was dying in the hospital, and he's a guy that wrote so much about healing and divine healing, and he actually worked with Sister Amy Semple McPherson. He's the actual guy who composed most of the songs, and because he understood what music was. Sister McPherson did not write music, but she could compose it in her own mind, but somebody else did all the hard work. It's like that all the time. He said to me, I went to see him at the hospital, and as he was laying in the hospital, he said to me, I should not be here. And I said, what do you mean? Somebody is not obeying God. Someone who has been granted the ability to pray for the sick, the gift of healing, is absent from my life. I should not be here. I will die at the appointed time. I did not want to die this way. But I mean, the whole concept of how the body works together. See, so salvation is wonderful. Anyone can be saved. He saves to the uttermost. No one is beyond a sin that he cannot reach. Every member of our family can be saved as you pray and intercede and plead with God for the moving of the Holy Spirit in their lives. You must never stop praying every single day of your life for the salvation of your loved ones. And when it comes to your body, you must pray for God to heal. And at the same time, understand that healing is one of the miracles that God can give us in our midst. The healing is part of our inheritance. Jesus died on the cross for that. But there's also the gifts of healing in the body. And we need to activate those ministries in our church. By that, I mean we need to spend enough time in his presence that God will speak to us and give us the boldness to step out and lay hands on the sick that they may recover in Jesus' name. I really believe that. So we need to do that. In the meantime, his grace is sufficient. And there are people who will not get better, but will show God's grace in their lives and will teach us that God never leaves or forsake. I can think of several of them. Mark is one of them. I'll never forget that. When he was ill in the hospital, I went to see and talk to him, and he was concerned because of the effects of Parkinson in his life, and he's told the nurse, can you give me a little something so I can go? And the nurse says, I can't do that. And his words to me were, I guess I have to wait on the Lord. We all are waiting on the Lord. We must develop that faith and that commitment that we don't serve God for the things he gives to us. We serve God because he is God. He is the Lord of our lives. And again, all of us need to pray for salvation, for healing. What about the filling of the Holy Spirit? The baptism of the filling of the Holy Spirit is needed in our congregations today. It is a teaching that has gone by the side. And, you know, there have been some scandals and been some problems with it and abuses. I understand that. But we don't throw the baby with the dirty water, do we? We need to be able to come to places where we can seek the Lord in freedom, and we can seek his presence, and we can understand God's dealing with our heart. That's why we have our prayer meeting coming up on Wednesday, where you can come and you can kneel and we can pray for you. And there's a level of privacy, and yet at the same time, you're surrounded by brothers and sisters who love you, and we can pray for you that the Lord will do a work in your heart, and that you will be filled with the Spirit, that the Lord will give you a prayer language that can do miracles, signs, and wonders in your own life. We need that in our churches today. We desperately need that. So, you know, the Bible tells us that we either speak God's language or the devil's language. I love this. Verse 44 speaks about the native language. He says, Jesus says to the Pharisees, that the devil speaks his native language of lies. I love that. We need to speak our native language, which is the language of God's kingdom, of God's word. So powerfully, so important. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has power of life and death. It is not that you actually create things with your tongue, with your heart, with your life, but you must agree with the word that transforms everything and everybody. You must get the word into your heart. You must get God's word in such a way that you walk with the word and not with the values of the world. So my morning message deals specifically with lies of the devil that you and I must not believe, and that you and I need to align ourselves with God's word. And the word of God is that what rules my life, my personal life, my marriage life, my family life, my business life, my life is governed by God's word and his principles, his ways in which he guides me, salvation of my family, the most wonderful healing that can come into our hearts, physical healing we mentioned, but also mind healing and the healing of things that we've done in our hearts, and we can forgive ourselves. And it can go on and on and on. But all of this happens when you take the time in God's presence, because I'm speaking to Christians. I'm not speaking to unbelievers, but to believers. The unbelievers, they need to come to Christ. They need to be saved. They need to ask Jesus to come into their lives so that they can have a new life. You need to be born again. You need to start all over again. You need to put a reset button that really works. That's being born again by the Spirit of God. And that's a whole different chapter. But also those of us who are saved, we need to enter into his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. I'd like for us to conclude our message this morning by doing something that I think all of us know. I'm going to ask Jennifer to do this for me. I want you to look up Psalm 23rd, and I want to put it up on the screen, because we're going to actually do that. We're all of us are going to read together the 23rd Psalm, because those are the principles of life. Those are the principles that can cause us to have a victorious life and not believe the devil, not believe the father of all lies, that continually tells us, that God is a liar, because that's what he says. Wants to take the place of God in your life and gives you a lie in your relationships, in your business, in your home, in everything. You have it? Put it up there. Everybody, please look at the screen. Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Did you hear that? The Lord is my shepherd. What I shall not want. Isn't that wonderful? He is your shepherd. There is nothing lacking in your life. Now let's read it through one more time and let's do the whole psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Let those be our guiding principles. Let the Lord rule your heart. God's word rule your heart. Let the word of God be the one that determines your decision making and your every single day activities for the glory of Jesus. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for the work of your Spirit in our lives. I thank you that you're able to work and cut through all the lies of the enemy. I'm wondering, what lie have you heard lately that you want to be set free from? What lie? Is there a lie that the devil has said to you, that whispers to you, that continually accuses you and puts you down? What is that word? What is that lie? What is it? What is it? Well, I'll give you mine. You're too old. Hey, who cares? You know, age is a blessing. So we are very blessed in this church because we're all very old. Somebody said to me, you have an aging congregation. I'm proud of it. We don't die over here, you know. We just get promoted to glory. But I'm telling you, there are things the devil says to you that are a lie. And I want to rebuke that in the name of the Lord. Listen to God's word. What does God say to you about your situation? God wants to save to the uttermost. God wants to heal your body. God wants to grant you the desires of your heart. The Lord is working in such a way that he will fill your heart with the Spirit, where you will have a relationship with the Lord that unimaginable. It's there, but you're not using it. You are already belong to him, but you need to move in further. You need to push in that you may understand everything that God has to say. Here are the requests from the internet. Let's pray. We pray for Julie. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Julie, we'd never give up on you. No way. No way. Says Julie is to come home tomorrow after 2 months in hospital. And I think that's wonderful. She's in and out of hospital. She's critically ill. Most of her life she's been like this, and yet she loves the Lord. Here's a case where I can say his grace is sufficient for Julie and for Sister Flores and the whole family. His grace is sufficient, and we glorify the Lord. And it's not a cop-out. It's not, no, no. What we're saying is, hey, God's in there. God's involved. God's working. Hallelujah. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't abandon us. He is with us at any time, every time that we move forward. Go ahead.
Bless the Lord.
Can you do that? Can you lift those hands?
And all that is within me.
Bless
his holy name. Bless the Lord. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. He has done great things.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He has done great things. Done great things, bless his holy name. He has done great things, he has done great things, he has done great.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
feel like having an altar call and those aquí llorando ahí como moqueando ahí. Lord, thank you for this Sunday service. Thank you for the working of your grace in our lives. Thank you that this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice in it, Lord. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord, and amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
We are so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, you can also visit our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.
From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.